think of a hard choice you'll face in the near future. It might be between two careers, artist and accountant, or places to live, the city or the country, or even between two people to marry. Or it might be a choice about whether to have children or to have an ailing parent move in with you. Chances are the hard choice you thought of was something big, sometimes something momentous, something that matters to you. But I think we've misunderstood hard choices and the role they play in our lives. Understanding hard choices uncovers a hidden power each of us possesses. What makes a choice hard is the way the alternatives relate. In a hard choice, one alternative is better in some ways, the other alternative is better in other ways, and neither is better than the overall. You agonize over whether to stay in your current job in the city or uproot your life for more challenging work in the country, because staying is better in some ways and moving is better in other, and neither is better than the other overall. I couldn't decide between two careers, philosophy and law. I really loved philosophy. There are amazing things you can learn as a philosopher, and from the comfort of an armchair. Well, that struck me as the height of extravagance. So I tried my best to think of the reasons for and against each alternative. Because I couldn't figure out which was better, I took the safest option. Fear of being an unemployed philosopher led me to become a lawyer. And as I discovered, lawyering didn't quite fit. So now I'm a philosopher. And I study hard choices. And I can tell you that fear of the unknown, while a common motivational default in dealing with hard choices, rests on a misconception of them. It's a mistake to think that in hard choices, one alternative really is better than the other. But we're too stupid to know which one. And since we don't know which, we might as well take the least risky option. Hard choices are hard not because of us or our ignorance. They're hard because there is no best option. Suppose you have a choice between two jobs. You could be an investment banker or a graphic artist. There are a variety of things that matter in such a choice, like the excitement of the work, achieving financial security, having time to raise a family, and so on. Maybe the artist's career puts you on a cutting edge of new forms of pictorial expression. Maybe the banking career puts you on the cutting edge of new forms of financial manipulation. Now, suppose we improve one of them. Suppose the bank adds $500 a month to your salary. Does the extra money now make the banking job better than the artist one? Not necessarily. A higher salary makes the banking job better than it was before, but it might not be enough to make being a banker better than being an artist. But if an improvement in one of the jobs doesn't make it better than the other, then the two original jobs could not have been equally good. If you start with two things that are equally good and you improve one of them, no, it must be better than the other. But that's not the case with hard choices. We've got two jobs. Neither is better than the other, nor are they equally good. So how are we supposed to choose? Maybe the choice itself is problematic, and comparison is impossible. It's not like we're trying to choose between two things that can't be compared. We're weighing the merits of two jobs. A comparison of the overall merits of two jobs is something we can make, and when we often do make, I think the puzzle arises because of an unreflexive assumption we make about value. We unwittingly assume that values, like justice, beauty, kindness, are akin to scientific qualities like length, mass, and width. Take any comparative question not involving value, such as which of two suitcases is heavier, the weight of one is greater, lesser, or equal to the weight of the other. Properties like weight can be represented by real numbers, and there are only three possible comparisons between any two real numbers. One number is greater, lesser, or equal to the other. Not so with values. We tend to assume that scientific thinking holds the key to everything of importance in our world, but the world of value is different from the world of science. So, if what matters to us can't be represented by real numbers, then there's no reason to believe that, in choice, there are only three possibilities. One alternative is better than the other, one is worse, or they're equal. We need to introduce a new fourth relation between being better, worse, or equal that describes what's going on in hard choices. I like to say that the alternatives are on a par. When alternatives are on a par, it may matter very much which you choose, but one alternative isn't better than the other. Rather, the alternatives are in the same neighborhood of value, while at the same time being very different kinds of value. That's why the choice is hard. Understanding hard choices in this way uncovers something about ourselves we didn't know. Each of us has the power to create reasons. Imagine a world in which every choice you face is an easy choice. That is, there's always a best alternative. If there's a best alternative, then that's the one you should choose, because part of being rational is doing the better thing rather than the worst thing. A world full of only easy choices would enslave us to reason. When you think about it, it's nuts to believe that the reasons given to you dictate that you had the most reason to pursue the exact hobbies you do, to live the life you live in the exact house you live in, to work at the exact job that you work at. Instead, you faced alternatives that were on par, hard choices, and you made reasons for yourself to choose that hobby, that house, and that job. When alternatives are on a par, the reason given to us are silent as to what to do. It's here, in the space of hard choices, that we get to exercise our normative power, the power to create reason for ourselves, to make ourselves into the kinds of people for whom country living is preferable to urban living. This response in hard choices is a rational response, but it's not dictated by reasons given to us. Rather, it's supported by reasons created by us. When we create reasons for ourselves to become this kind of person rather than that, we wholeheartedly become the people that we are. You might say that we become the authors of our own lives. So the lesson of hard choices is this: reflect on what you can put your agency behind and what you can be for, and through hard choices, become that person. Far from being sources of agony and dread, hard choices are precious opportunities for us to celebrate what is special about the human condition. That the reason that govern our choices as correct or incorrect sometimes run out. And it is here, in the space of hard choices, that we have the power to create reasons for ourselves, to become the distinctive people that we are. And that's why hard choices are not a curse, but a godsend.